Kridartham, for the sake of pastimes. That's nice. Atmana, of yourself. Idam, this. Sri Jagat was created. Te, by you. Samyam, proprietorship. Tu, but. Chacha, thereon. Kudya, foolish rascals. Apare, others. Isha, O my Lord. Kuruhu, have established. Kartahu, for the Supreme Creator. Prabhu, for the Supreme Maintainer. Tava, for your good self. Kim, what? Asyata, for the Supreme Annihilator. Avahanti, they can offer. Chakta Shriyaha, shameless, without intelligence. Twat, by you. Avaropita, falsely imposed because of a poor fund of knowledge. Katrivada, the proprietorship of such foolish agnostics. Translations. Srimati Vindhyavali said, O my Lord, you have created the entire universe for the enjoyment of your personal pastimes. But foolish, unintelligent men have claimed proprietorship for material enjoyment. Certainly they are shameless agnostics. Falsely claiming proprietorship, they think they can give charity and enjoy. In such a condition, what good can they do for you, who are the independent creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this universe? I guess we can repeat this. Srimati Vrindavali said, please repeat. Oh my Lord, you have created the entire universe for your enjoyment, for the enjoyment of your personal pastimes. But foolish, unintelligent men have claimed proprietorship for material enjoyment. Certainly they are shameless agnostics, falsely claiming proprietorship. They think they can give charity and enjoy. In such a condition, what good can they do for you, who are the independent creator, maintainer and annihilator of this universe? Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Bali Maharaj's wife, who was most intelligent, supported the arrest of her husband and accused him of having no intelligence because he had claimed proprietorship of the property of the Lord. Such a claim is a sign of demoniac life. Although the demigods, who are officials appointed by the Lord for management, are attached to materialistic enjoyment, they never claim to be proprietors of the universe, for they know that the actual proprietor of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the qualification of the demigods. But the demigods, instead of accepting the exclusive proprietorship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the demons, instead of accepting the exclusive proprietorship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, claim the property of the universe for themselves through demarcations of nationalism. This part is mine, and that part is yours. They say, this part I can give in charity, and this part I can keep from my enjoyment. These are all demonic conceptions. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 6:13. Idam adya maya labdham, idam prapsye manoratam. Thus far, I have acquired so much money and land. Now I have to add more and more. In this way, I shall be the greatest proprietor of everything. Who can compete with me? These are all demoniac conceptions. Bali Maharaj's wife accused Bali Maharaj by saying that although the Supreme Personality of God had arrested him, showing him extraordinary mercy, and although Bali Maharaj was offering his body to the Supreme Lord for the Lord's third step, he was still in the darkness of ignorance. Actually, the body did not belong to him. But because of his long-standing demoniac mentality, he could not understand this. He thought that since he had been defamed for his inability to fulfill his promise of charity, since the body belonged to him, he would free himself from defamation by offering this his body. Actually, however, the body does not belong to anyone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whom the body is given. Stated in Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hride sher junatishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudani mayaya. The Lord is situated in the core of everyone's heart, and according to the material desires of the living entity, the Lord offers a particular type of machine, the body, through the agency of material energy. The body actually does not belong to the living entity. It belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Under the circumstance, how could Bali Maharaj claim that the body belonged to him? Thus, Vindhyavali, Bali Maharaj's intelligent wife, prayed that her husband be released by the Lord's causeless mercy. Otherwise, Bali Maharaj was nothing but a shameless demon, specifically described as Chakta Riyas, Trad Avaropita Kartritvada, a foolish person claiming proprietorship over the property of the Supreme Lord person. In the present age, Kali Yuga, the number of such shameless men who are agnostics, disbelieving in the existence of God, has increased. Trying to defy the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so-called scientists, philosophers, and politicians manufacture plans and schemes for the destruction of the world. They cannot do anything good for the world, and unfortunately, because of Kali Yuga, they have plunged the affairs of the world into mismanagement. Thus, there is a great need for the Krishna consciousness movement for the benefit of innocent people who are being carried away by propaganda of such demons. If the present status quo is allowed to continue, People will certainly suffer more and more under the leadership of these demoniac agnostics. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaisnavam Shah Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Varijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vizakanvitam Cha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandha Jagapate Govesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So there's many lessons to learn here. Many. We don't have so much time. One thing we can understand at the beginning is Pali Maharaj's wife is described as more intelligent than he. Isn't that nice? So, actually, sometimes we see this in the Shastras that, well, actually, it's described that there are some of us are less intelligent, which is just about everyone. In the age of Kali, everyone is born as a Sudra. And like that. But by spiritual understanding, then one can rise to a transcendental position. Mami Pardivya Pashritya, Yepisu, Papayonia, Striya Vaishis. So those who actually become devotees of Krishna, who take shelter of Krishna, regardless of their situation, they can approach him. Therefore, they can actually become teachers, spiritual masters. They are most intelligent because of taking shelter of the most intelligent person, Krishna. Krishna ye bhaji se boro chatur. One who worships Krishna is most intelligent. So one time, actually, Srila Prabhupada teased his dear daughter, Jamuna Devi, with these quotes of Chanakya Pandit, like that. So he said, "So what do you think, Jamuna Devi?" And she said, "Yes, Prabhupada, whatever you say." But then he became very, very grave. You know, in other words, he was saying that never trust a woman or a politician. And then Prabhupada became very grave, and he said, "But you are not a woman, you are a Vaishnavi." So this is a very important understanding. That it's not by birth that we become qualified or necessarily disqualified. But actually everyone is a spiritual being. And, well, for instance, Srila Prabhupada said about Jamuna that this was back in early 70s. He said she is a pure devotee. Krishna. Actually, he said, I think he told Tamal Krishna that she had achieved bhava. So we should hear from such persons. And just like Bali Maharaj is a king of the world, greatly powerful person, but he should listen to his good wife. who is more intelligent than him, being a devotee of Krishna. So that's an interesting kind of side point here that we can take note of. So the principal point that she's making is that that everything belongs to Krishna. Simple point. And Srila Prabhupada explains again and again and again that this is the problem of the world. This is the problem in society. I remember when I was growing up, there was a folk song that they sang, "This land is your land, this land is my land." This was, well, of course, it was meant to say it doesn't belong to the evil politicians. It belongs to us. But that's also a mistake. It's not my land, it's not your land, it's Krishna's land. And Bhaktiram Yagyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. When we understand that, then we can actually achieve peace in this world. This seems like a very wonderful act. Actually, I just wanted to go back a little bit. Bali Maharaj, on one hand, it's so glorious. In the previous verses, it's described how he was actually wanted to give everything to Krishna. Of course, he's the son of Prahlad Maharaj, and he himself is also a great devotee. He's counted as one of the Mahajans, I believe. Isn't that right? Balir Vaya Sakir Vayam, right? So, not an ordinary person. But nevertheless, he's in this situation for our understanding. He's playing this part of a materialistic person who's conquering the world. But when he was challenged by his teacher, who was genuinely materialistic, that don't give everything to this little dwarf Brahmana boy, because he'll take everything. You'll lose everything. So he very intelligently calculated that, well, that would be very good. That would be my benefit. If Krishna wants to take everything away, that would be very good. And if I somehow or other maintain all of my possessions by becoming a liar and a cheater, it'll be taken away anyway. So what will I have gained? So indeed, Bali Maharaj is also most intelligent. And then it's described that he gave everything to Krishna. He washed the feet of the Lord, and without any duplicity, he was ready to give everything. And upon washing the lotus, just imagine this, he's washing the lotus feet of this Vamanadev. How nice is that? And he was in ecstasy thinking in that way. So then he had, as it came to pass, he lost everything. So, but he was very happy. He was very, very happy. So this verse then is especially on this point. And one of my godbrothers, Giriraj Maharaj, points out that this is one of the significance of Srila Prabhupada's purport on the Srimad Bhagavatam, is that generally the commentators on the Srimad Bhagavatam gave commentary that was especially for the practitioners, for sadhakas, and certainly Srila Prabhupada gave that. He gave commentary that was for us who are trying to practice Christian consciousness, how we could advance on the path of devotional service. But Srila Prabhupada's purports are unique in this way, that it takes it a step further. That he actually wanted to save the world. He actually didn't see this as just something for devotees, but as a treatise for all mankind, as you can say, a guidebook for leadership for those who are trying to lead the world. And so we see this, that he's explaining that these, you know, so-called scientists or in the age of Kali, that people who claim proprietorship over the world have only increased. This is what we see everywhere. They're fighting over land. Prabhupada would say sometimes they're fighting over the land and they kill each other and they're gone, but the land is still there. So who does the land belong to then? I was just recently came across this nice song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, Bastuta Sakalitava. Indeed, he says, this is a certainty that everything belongs to you. Jiva Kehonai. The Jiva doesn't own anything. We can just analyze that what do we own. Of course, the propaganda is, well, at least we own our body, right? At least this is mine. I can do what I want with my body. But if we analyze, we can see that even the body does not belong to us because we can't keep it. It slips away. Yeah. Our body is continually changing, actually, from the standpoint of modern science. What is this body anyway? It's just this whirling mass of energy. And how can we, a little insignificant, tiny speck, spiritual spark, how can we possibly think that that's us? We're actually just little tiny specks in an ocean of matter. But this is the power of the false ego. So although nothing belongs to us, we can't claim anything under the power of illusion. He calls this aham mama, that this, we have this abhiman, this mentality that everything belongs to me. And with that mentality, we create so much trouble. One lifetime to the next. Actually, I spent a little while in Bulgaria. And we visited this one kingdom, this ancient kingdom. And there's a huge castle there. And so it's really interesting. On the wall, there was a list of the names of the different kings. And there was at least 20 names in the course of 100 years. So we can just imagine each king coming in. Oh, I'm the king, and this is my queen, and I'll rule the world. And some of them really literally lasted like 2 years. And then another king came in and said, yes, this is my kingdom. So it was really amazing to see that kind of graphically there. And Prabhupada says it really nicely here. A foolish person claiming proprietorship. How does he say it? Trying to defy the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so-called scientists, philosophers, and politicians manufacture plans and schemes for the destruction of the world. They cannot do anything good for the world. And unfortunately, because of Kali Yuga, they have plunged the affairs of the world into mismanagement. So certainly this is true everywhere, especially in Kali Yuga. It's just one struggle for power after the next. Someone gains power for a little while, takes whatever they can, and then goes away. So it's a very troublesome, very troublesome time. So Srila Prabhupada sees this. We could, of course, there's unlimited examples. Everybody knows these things very well. But Srila Prabhupada concludes, therefore, there's a great need for the Krishna consciousness movement for the benefit of innocent people who are being carried away by propaganda. Actually, it's the fact that one group tears down another group, and another group comes in and does the same thing, and it's going on like that. So, as devotees of Krishna, we need to understand this point very, very deeply in our own life, because we also have this tendency to claim proprietorship over things. Right? We're not free from the tendency, probably, to claim proprietorship. But a person who actually is surrendered to Krishna and understands truly that Krishna owns everything, they can actually benefit themselves and they can benefit the world. So, Hare Krishna. I didn't study this very deeply, so I'm sorry. It's kind of a superficial explanation. But maybe we have some discussion. Hare Krishna.
So Bali Maharaj, he's a demon. But we can understand, we see from what you're describing, what's here in the Bhagavatam, that he's incredibly fortunate. He can be considered one of the most fortunate people in the world. Yeah. So why do good things happen to bad people?
Well, in his case, well, that's another question. That's two different questions. Bad things happen to good people because they're not all good. They've got some skeletons in the closet and some bad karma, and it's coming around. Yes, chandra gopam, adivindra maho sukarma, bandhana rupa palavajana matinoti. Krishna's not inimical towards anyone. He loves everyone, but he's just doing his duty. If there's some karma for someone to get, then they receive that. People who don't know about previous lives, they don't accept that. So, yeah, nothing happens by accident. This is a statement of Bhagavatam. Personally, we should take that. That's actually a wonderful topic. That sometimes things happen to us, and we think, "Why me?" Have you ever thought like that? Why me? Why did this happen to me? I'm such a wonderful person. But karmani nirdhati kintu cha bhakti bhajan. When things come to devotees, or one who's, as devotees, of course, we're trying to become devotees. At least I can speak personally. We're just trying to become a devotee. But we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're holding up our hand, you know, Krishna, here I am. And Krishna hears us, as we heard last night, even when you say Krishna hears that. He takes notice. Somebody said my name. So Krishna takes personal care of such people. So what they get a lot of times looks difficult and hard to swallow and hard to handle, and so on, but it's actually, it's not exactly karma. It's kind of like karma, but Srila Prabhupada would call it Krishna karma, because it's personally given by Krishna. And it's meant for our purification. It's therapeutic. It's the right medicine for our disease. So we should always keep that in mind throughout our life and try to see that whatever happens to us is a special arrangement by the Lord for our benefit, for our education and purification. This is something we should consider very deeply in order to progress on the path of spiritual life. And in the case of Bali Maharaj, he, as I understand it, he got this mercy because he's the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. Is that right? Prahlad prayed for him, right? Didn't we hear that earlier? So, it's not what you know, it's who you know. So, which is another good lesson, is that if you get the mercy, these things, you know, we get the mercy, yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada, nagati katopi. We get the mercy of the Lord. One day we can see the Lord, wash the lotus feet of the Lord, have the association of the Lord. It's like Gop Kumara went back to Godhead and Krishna embraced him. So, and Prabhupada said that we're meant to enter into Krishna's family. Again, that's why we're here, to enter into Krishna's family. So we can know for certain that that's possible by the blessings of the devotees. So just as Bali Maharaj was blessed to get the association of Vamanadeva, so we can also be blessed by the association of devotees, the mercy of the devotees. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. You were mentioning that we're not even controllers or proprietors of our body.
Pardon me?
We're not controllers or proprietors of our body because we're going to die. We can't keep it. You were mentioning that point. Yeah. And that reminded me of something that Prabhupada said in his book, The Laws of Nature. He says that one person was claiming to be the supreme controller, but then he was under the control of a toothache.
What kind
you remember that? And so in our life, we see that there's many things that are beyond our control, like the weather. If we can't control the weather, it is what it is. If we can't control our senses, it is what it is. But generally speaking, when we can't control people, we want to kill them or kill their reputation. It's not, it is what it is. So the one realization I got is that like Hiranyakashipu, he was, even though Hiranyakashipu and Bali had the same mentality, I'm the controller, is that when things went out of their control, Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill Prahlad and Bali didn't want to kill Vamana. And how to come to that stage that that happiness that I'm not God, I'm not the controller, because that seems like all misery comes from all these conflicts that I can't control people, but we can't control many things, but it is what it is. So how to come to that stage to be happy that we're not God?
Wow, that's a nice question. Yeah, Bali Maharaj was obviously not a demon. He surrendered to Krishna. But he's, you know, for the sake of illustration, it's the example. I mean, actually, on one hand, it's so wonderful that, oh, I can't, you know, I gave you my kingdom, I don't have anything else, well, take my body. On one hand, that's glorious. But on the other hand, he's being criticized. Vaishnava philosophy is so high that why are you giving something that's not yours? You're so foolish. So this is such exalted philosophy. But of course, that's why we're here. That's why we're chanting Hare Krishna. That's why we're engaged in the process of devotional service. That's why we're doing everything that we're doing, is to come to that stage. It's not automatic, and it's not an easy thing. It's not just a mental adjustment. Oh, Krishna owns everything. Okay. You know, I heard that once, and now I believe it. You know, because it's deep-rooted. It's really deep-rooted. We've been here many, many births. We have no idea how many births, really just trying to do the same thing, enjoy this material world. And if we're, like Vishnujana Maharaj used to say, if we're not serving Krishna, we're thinking we are Krishna. So somehow or other, little enjoyers. It is very, we have the desire to control, and we're very small. So the process of devotional service is to develop that desire within us to surrender to Krishna. And it happens gradually, just like we're chanting every day. So when we're chanting, we have the association of Krishna. And if we hear nicely, gradually we'll feel that association and we'll feel satisfied just with Krishna's association. And the more that satisfaction arises, that I just want to be with Krishna, nothing else is satisfying. And we get that realization over the course of years, at least, that, we find that we're happy serving Krishna, and then we think, well, but maybe, maybe let me try something else. Let me enjoy a little bit. And then, again, we find that, well, we're not really satisfied. This is what we used to call bhakti yo-yo. Up and down. Yes, Krishna, Haribo. Well, Maya, you don't look so bad after all. So it's this interim period that we're kind of we're reestablishing our relationship with Krishna. That's a devotional service, is reestablishing our relationship with Krishna. It's such a wonderful thing. And the more that becomes established, then we'll trust Krishna. That's one of the signs, the symptoms of surrender is this goptritve, that Krishna is maintaining me. Krishna's taking care of me. I've had that experience so many times, especially after, well, of course, I was managed the temple for 20 years or so, 10 years, and And then after that, I tried vainly to make a living. Anyway, and I'd have one kind of business or something that was going, and then it would collapse, and I'd be in extreme anxiety. Where is the money going to come from? Where is it coming from? You ever had that experience? Where is the money coming from? But sometimes in the middle of that anxiety, I would think, well, Krishna's always taken care of me. I've always had what I've needed. I've never starved, And then I would think, yeah, but will he take care of me this time? So anyway, this is kind of our journey to learn how that, yes, Krishna really is the supreme controller. He really is taking care of me. And really all I need is Krishna. If I have Krishna's association, that's all I need. And we can understand this, philosophically, but to realize this practically and to actually surrender to Krishna, that's our journey. That's our path. That's what we're here to learn. And it generally takes a while, I think, for most people. Is that okay? Thank you for your question. Yeah? Are we over time? Oh, I'm talking too long. Thank you so much for your association. Sorry for not preparing a better class, but it's nice to hear something. So we'll see you later. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.